Hello and welcome everyone. I'm Pete Denby, co-founder of Hyperfinity, the decision intelligence platform for retail. We've come to the end of season two of To Affinity and Beyond, our podcast about all things retail and consumer. We'll be taking a break whilst we plan another season of forward-thinking content and inspiring guests. In the meantime, I'm going to summarise the last season in a single episode. Let's get stuck in. At the start of the season, we examined six trends impacting retailers in 2023. We tackled the cost of living crisis and the importance of consumer champions.
I think what really matters at this point is that your retailers will be fighting for consumer budgets and consumer spend. And it very much, I think, is going to be a year of consumer champions. How popular has Martin Lewis been over the last year, all of a sudden again, because consumer champions matter. When you can't afford things that are absolutely vital for basic life, such as food, and energy, what happens at that point is, I think, it gives retailers the opportunity to rise up as that consumer champion. And certainly where the value-based retailers, there's going to be a big play there, and they've got to be really careful in making sure that they reflect cost price increases to protect margins. So I think we'll still see a lot of price increases going through, but absolutely where basic goods, things that matter to consumers, things they need on a day-to-day basis to live, I think there's going to get into more of price wars again. And there's going to be a real balance of things, the way in which retailers price things we need, basics, and the way in which retailers price things that we want, so discretionary purchases. And I think that's going to be really, really interesting as we sort of go through the next year.
We examined the major growth in the retail media market. We explored the rise in sustainability and the circular economy in retail, from great case studies like the Modern Milkman to the rise of fashion rental platforms. We also discussed the future of department stores, including this clip about combining shopping and entertainment. And I 100% agree with, they've got to turn the department stores into more of an entertainment venue. I mean, they've got big places, you know, these are huge buildings, typically department stores. So why not give over part of those department stores to more entertainment focused things, such as places to eat and drink, you know, maybe, you know, kind of boutique cinemas, you could have, you know, galleries. I think if you could have somewhere for kids to play, that would be a big win for anyone who's got children. You know, you absolutely don't go to shopping full stop, but particularly to department stores, because there's nothing to do with the kids. So, you know, you've got to cater for the kids. And I think there's a whole host of things that a department store could put in place that makes it a great experience, a destination that people look forward to going to. And while they're there, you know, they spend some money on, you know, with the shop. So they probably need to strike partnerships with different, you know, entertainment venues or, you know, food and drink outlets, that kind of thing, to improve that experience. But like you, I fear they're on a, you know, a bit of a death spiral that's going to be extremely hard for them to arrest, to be perfectly honest with you. Finally, we looked at the decline in effectiveness of Black Friday as retailers grapple to regain consumer trust over misleading deals. Episode 3 was our most popular episode to date. We received loads of great feedback from listeners, so thank you. The episode covered everything demand forecasting. A key takeaway for me was just how central customer data actually is when it comes to predicting demand. Retailers need to understand which products meet the same customer need state. For example, women's smart trousers in black. They also need to understand which products are substitutable or refined, including how demand transfers if one product is taken out of stock or is on sale. Here's a clip exploring the importance of customer data.
Yeah, so the first statement that I think I'll make is that you should not be forecasting products, but customer needs. That is the first element to this. And I think everyone tends to start from product. How much of this product am I going to sell? But within any retailer, you have a set of competing products that are all meeting the same customer need. And that's the bit, that's the first thing that we can put into the forecast that can help retailers and brands make better forecasting decisions. I'll give you an example of that. I'll get away from food and fashion, which we always seem to talk about. We'll go into holidays. And the example from holidays that, again, we were having good discussions around this. But working with a travel company around better pricing hotels and holidays, and how we would do that. And the first decision was, well, can you build us a pricing engine which helps us sell through our hotel stock, because it's bought, it's procured, and if we don't fill those hotels, we, in essence, we have to pay for them anyway. So the whole premise was, we have a stock challenge. So it's the same as having food on the shelf or clothes in a warehouse. We have a stock challenge and we need to sell that stock through. And the question to us was, can you build us a dynamic pricing engine which will help price those hotels so we sell through? But when we got into it and we said, well, okay, how do you currently price them? Well, person A looks after Turkey, person B looks after Tenerife, was how we went into it. So that's how they're currently priced. So what we'll need is the decision engine to understand how they do it, to incorporate a load of those factors, but really to have earlier signals earlier on in the season as to where we need to start reducing prices for hotels, so we're not giving too much away in the really margin hitting sort of late holiday booking period. And we said, well, that's fine, but as you move towards that late period, if you're changing the price of holidays in Tenerife, don't you think that would affect the demand of the hotels in Turkey? And the response was, well, yeah, but that's quite difficult for a person to manage. It's like, it is, but it's not difficult for a computer to manage.
Yeah.
So the first thing that we did in support of that challenge is to think about customer needs. And when you start to put hotels not in terms of their location, which is how they were currently organized, and then some of the attributes against those hotels, does it have a pool? Is it near to the beach? Is it five star? Is it two star? When you start to think and put them as to how do customers browse the website and trade those hotels off against each other, when in a late market actually is it has a pool or not, I don't actually care. I want a really cheap two-star hotel that's near a beach, and I'm willing to consider any location that's going to be hot. How do you put those hotels together in terms of what the customer need is? And when you understand that customer need, you group those hotels into a different mindset. And that is across Tenerife, Turkey, Cyprus, Spain, all of those sort of short haul late markets. What you then have is a load of competing hotels which consumers would consider separately. And this is the important thing now, is when you start to change the price of some of those hotels, you will affect the demand of the other hotels. And so it's not just a price decision on one hotel, it's a price decision on potentially 10 hotels.
Yeah.
And once you understand that and you understand those interactions, you can then better price all of those 10 hotels so you sell through the right amount of all of them to maximize ultimately the occupancy at the end of it.
In episode 4, we focused on decision intelligence and its application in the retail world. My fellow co-founders Adam and Damon talked around the power of data-led decision-making in augmenting human abilities. They also covered the interlinked nature of retail decision-making and how the human brain can't possibly connect everything without the help of computers. Here's a particularly insightful clip.
And also, decision-making functions don't necessarily have the right data or tools and solutions at their fingertips, or don't have the necessary data science skills to derive insight from data. And for me, this is where decision intelligence comes in. Connecting decisions across the business is key. And this means connecting data, getting the right insight into the hands of the right people, and destroying the data silos that exist within a business. And decision intelligence is all about connecting data and insight for me, putting customer data at the heart of any decision, but ultimately allowing teams to forecast the holistic impact of decision-making across a set of interlinked business decisions.
Moving on to episode 5, Ian Shepherd, a chairman and non-executive director, kindly agreed to join me to discuss a crucial question for retailers. In a world of infinite choice, why should consumers buy from you? This clip with Ian perfectly summarizes the topic.
My view is, as a retailer, you don't have a divine right to exist. From a supplier, if you know you're facing back to a supplier and you're, you know, looking for, I don't know, margin terms, or you know whether or not you're going to sort of stock their product, they're going to sell you their products, and your proposition is the fundamental of retail proposition is, I'm going to bring you customers that you can't get any other way, or I'm going to bring them more cost effectively than you can get them any other way. And if that's not true, then they're going to go direct. So we'll certainly see aspects of that happening, but the reality is that the friction cost of you know, buying all of the hundreds of things that you buy in a grocery retailer directly, you know, another van driving up the street to bring you your shaving foam, you know, is so that feels like such a clunky experience when you take it to its extreme, that it would be an abject failure of the grocery sector to deliver a real value proposition to you if that became a really big thing. And so the challenge is, you know, how do I make the experience of either coming to a grocery store or shopping online, but on a grocer's website, you know, a sufficiently valuable one for the consumer that they choose to do that.
According to HubSpot, it costs between 5 and 25 times more to acquire new customers rather than retaining existing ones. Pretty compelling reason to invest in customer loyalty, right? In episode 6, I was joined by Costa Coffee's Global Head of Consumer Data and Digital Analytics, Ed Child, about the role of analytics in creating customer loyalty.
You have to bear in mind our loyalty scheme is very transactional because it's all about delivering value back to consumers by you purchasing drinks in our store, and we will deliver value back to you through a free drink. Therefore, I don't need to know a huge amount about you. And we've recently gone through an exercise where we minimize some of our data capture because there's elements of going, you know, it's actually in our interest to make the registration experience as simple as possible. So the key for us is understanding what you buy and therefore trying to personalize or make things relevant to you based on your transactional experience. So, you know, the kind of data and analytics that we do in this is probably not what you would expect. So we've got recommendations work, looking at next best kind of like product, market basket analysis, looking at kind of like pairings and capability to offer you relevant upsell and kind of cross-sell, lapsing models and segmentation. So all of these things which just help us understand you as a consumer, and therefore how do I best understand your interactions with us, and therefore we can be most relevant to you with our offers, personalization and targeting.
Episode 7 took us back to Hyperfinity's roots. I was joined by Dr. Lorien Pratt, the co-inventor of Decision Intelligence. It was fascinating to hear how this fast-growing technology trend really came about. In Lorien's words,
I thought that as people got more senior in organizations and as decisions were more impactful on human lives and also on dollars and revenue and profitability, I thought decisions would get more rigorous because they had more impact. And what I found is quite the opposite was true, that less data was used. There were less formal methods. And so you have, you know, one experience I had was CEO of a very large multi-billion-dollar corporation made a $500 million decision in the space of 10 minutes without any sort of formal process. And I only mention that not because it stands out, but because it was typical. And this was really surprising to me that the biggest decisions use the least data. And so in 2009, I took some time off and I spent about a year just interviewing, just talking to people. I said, what should technology do? And decision intelligence filled that gap.
Decision intelligence takes human decision making one step further by wiring up data to business outcomes and actions. Finally, the 8th and final episode of Season 2 centered around location planning with Dunelm's Head of Trading Analytics, Ashika Hyde. We talked about how data can help retailers decide on a shop's location or position, plus maximize a store's layout. Here's a great explanation of how retailers typically make location planning decisions from Ashika.
That's a big question, and I think there is a lot of variation between retailers, but if I really simplify, just, you know, go take it down to the absolute basics, I think there'd be three questions that all retailers are probably or hopefully asking themselves. So I think the first is where we're going, is there our target customer? And is there enough of our target customer to sustain a store? You do need to know who your target customer is up front to be able to answer that question. I think the second one is this a convenient location for our target customer to shop at? So that could be, you know, if you're talking to customers, somebody had cars, it would be around drive times and ease to get there, parking spaces. If it's a store or a retailer that people usually walk to, you might want to look at transport links or how close it is to residential areas. So it can be lots of different things for different people. And it totally depends on who your target customer is. But is it convenient for them? And third, I'd say, is does it meet your operational requirements? I've seen retail centers where they bring in an anchor store, for example, who might have a food court. And part of the agreement might be that any other business can't do that. So if a food offer was part of your you know, ethos and what you offer to your customers, then that's not the right location for you. Similarly with opening hours, costs, the size of the store that you might like. So there can be lots of operational requirements that it needs to meet. What I'd say is there's no right or wrong answer to it. What is important is that you've thought through your business strategy and you've thought about what role stores play for your organization. And so what is the right store for you? And those answers then to those questions need to align with your stores.
That brings us to the end of the episode. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe via your favorite podcast platform, tell a colleague, or send us your feedback to peterdenby@hyperfinity.ai. We summarize every podcast episode in our resources library, so if you fancy reading more about the topics covered today, head over to hyperfinity.ai. See you next time for season 3 of To Affinity and Beyond.